these guys have any idea what they're doing? Probably not. But that won't stop them from making picks. This is BZ Money.
Each and every week, the Killer Bees are bringing you a winner. And while you may like Greg Peterson, while you may like Lee Sterling, you know that the Killer Bees got you covered right here. We get you a win every single week. Now, it is up to you to make sure that you don't take our losses picks. And last week, unfortunately, we did go 2-3. We did not have a couple good games. I can't believe that you guys did not.
It's all Jeremy's fault, isn't it, Brendan?
No. It's Brendan's fault. No, it is Jeremy's fault, because if he did not want to take the Detroit Lions last week. Well, I can't believe that one.
It's just Jeremy's fault regardless.
It's always Jeremy's fault.
Because he blames us for everything.
Cole,
so.
They have flipped on me the last three times I tried to pick the Lions. So I'm done.
You're done with picking the Lions?
You're not touching the Lions this week?
Done picking the Lions because you guys will just flip it on me every time.
Well, Jeremy's not here, so the vote changes. If you can bribe and alter Cole, you have a chance.
Listen, here's my big thing. I love the Fightin' Dan Campbells. I've always loved the Fightin' Dan Campbells. We love that we have $750 of Mr. Gal's money to play with.
That's right.
So why don't we go ahead and make our bets for this week?
Right off the top, let me start because this is the easiest one I think that there is. It's the Kansas City Chiefs giving up 14 points to the Houston Texans at home. They are going to boat race and bum rush and blow the doors off the Houston Texans.
You're not trusting Jeff Driscoll?
I'm not 50% of Jeff Driscoll.
You're not trusting 50% of Davis Mills?
50% of the neck? No, 100% Kansas City Chiefs winning this game in a landslide. I can see them getting up enough that my only concern is sitting Mahomes and all their key personnel down because they're up so big and then hanging on to the lead. But now that there's tape and it's not going to catch anybody by surprise that they're going with a double quarterback 50-50 split on that kind of BS offense, I think the Chiefs are going to boat race the Houston Texans. I'll take the Chiefs, and I'll give up the 14.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, well, you're the Houston Texans. I am not going to go ahead and fall for that one. I'm actually in agreement with you. There's now tape on seeing what Jeff Driscoll can do. One of the main reasons why Houston was able to be so successful last week was third down conversions, and part of that was not Jeff Driscoll. It was not Davis Mills. It was Damian Pierce. Guess who's not playing this weekend? You got Dari Ogunbowale, and you have Rex Burkhead as your 1-2 combination in the backfield. I'm not touching that with it, regardless of the situation. And I'm a lot like everyone else here. I hate big lines. I absolutely hate big lines.
I hate them too, yeah.
They're so absolutely bonkers for me. But this is a Houston Texans team that doesn't have its best weaponry on the backfield. So how in the hell do you expect them to even move the ball past the 50-yard line, let alone get inside the red zone like they did last week? Oh, and by the way, when you get at the 1-yard line, congratulations, Pep Hamilton. Make a dumb call. That way we walk away with 0 points. And give them an actual touchdown. And potentially the only other win we're going to get all year. So I'm actually in agreement with you on that one.
Brendan, are you in?
Yeah, I am in. I hate ever giving up 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, me too.
I fought it last week. I'm not going to fight
how
it this
much?
Week. I'm not going to fight it this week. How about $30?
$30 sounds good to me.
I got $30. All right, I'll go next. I like, and I can't believe I'm saying this one, the Carolina Panthers over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Carolina's been playing efficient football as of late, and one of the main reasons why, they're taking the ball out of Sam Darnold's hands. They're realizing, hey, it's working for Brock Purdy. Let's make it work for the former number 3 overall pick. They're running the football. They're moving the sticks. They're easily finding points inside the red zone, and they're going up against a Pittsburgh Steelers team that will not have Kenny Pickett, that potentially thinks its best option right now is either Mitchell, Apple, turnover, Trubisky, or Mason Rudolph. And there's a lot of people out there that
are receivers that are pushing
that
want Mitch to stay on the bench. I don't mind this. I think Darnold's done a little bit more than maybe even you give him credit for. I think he's been decent. I think the Steelers quarterback situation is really a mess right now. I know that Carolina's at home and they're only giving away 3, and that's what the line normally says you're supposed to get. I don't want to go crazy on this, Brendan, depending on what you think, but I can take the Panthers here as well.
I'm not in love with it. What have they done recently, the Panthers, to impress? They beat the Seahawks.
That's your Seahawks team.
Yeah, that was your Seahawks team that you talked about last week.
But their offense has clearly looked different, especially last week without Kenneth Walker. I've started to cool the Seahawks just a little bit. I just don't like picking the Panthers and giving points. I get it. I get why you're going there. I'm going to stay away from this one.
Listen, Matt Rhule is no longer reigning the likes of the Queen City. You have a new king in town in Steve Wilks. I absolutely love the way that he has brought firepower to this offense. I mean, to this offense. But the defense really has been playing strong underneath him. J.C. Horn making plays. You have Shaq Thompson doing a great job.
Horn's been really good.
Brian Burns, a guy that everyone wanted to come to Houston in that Deshaun Watson deal, is still a baller on the outside. Derek Brown at the middle. They can absolutely torture Mitchell Trubisky, and they certainly are going to be swinging away at Mason Rudolph.
Brandon, are we doing it or not?
I'm out.
You're out, so it's up to me.
Yes.
It's up to you.
How about we just do $10 on Carolina?
Would you do 10?
I'm out.
Okay, we're doing $10 on Carolina.
$10 on Carolina.
$10 on Carolina. What's your first one, Brendan?
All right, the Baltimore Ravens are going into Cleveland, who I think I've been the lowest on in this show, the Cleveland Browns. I don't know if we know for sure whether or not Huntley's playing, but I know he's passed concussion protocol.
Yeah. He's expected to start, by the way. He's expected to start. They got it on our TVs here.
Oh, look at that.
The Browns are 3-point favorites in this one. I don't think these teams are close. I think the Ravens are substantially better. I think the Ravens are one of the better teams in the NFC, even with Huntley at quarterback.
AFC.
All right, yeah, AFC, even with Huntley at quarterback. The Browns haven't had a running game. Watson hasn't looked great. I don't get this line.
I think the main reason why you take this line is because if you didn't know what was going on with the quarterback situation. I mean,
so we're getting in before it's official.
But who was going to be the starter before Tyler Huntley? Anthony Brown, an undrafted free agent who barely did anything in an offense run by Mario Cristobal at Oregon. I mean, he was an absolute bum at Oregon, and you expect him to be able to take down a Browns team? I'll give you credit. They don't have a really good run game. But what I will say is they do have a very balanced offense, and they have a decent enough defense to where they'd be able to pick and pry at a guy like Anthony Brown. So I'm actually out on this one. I think that this is one of those games where I understand where you're coming from. The defense has been phenomenal since they added in Roquan Smith. But don't give me this, where I think that, Tyler Huntley is going to be able to go toe-to-toe against a Myles Garrett, against a Davion Clowney, against guys Greg Newsome and Denzel Ward on the outside.
I saw Huntley do a lot of good things when they played the Packers a year ago to believe that there were a lot of teams that were interested in trying to get him. So I think as long as he's healthy enough to play, he gives them a good chance to win. I just feel like at some point the Browns are going to get something together. If you're the Ravens and you're getting 3, I like it. I just don't love it. I would stay away from it. But I guess if I'm the deciding vote, then we're going to stay away from it.
My big thing is that this is also a home game for Cleveland. They're going to try to do everything in their power to get Deshaun back into action.
That's
so I'm not going to go ahead and touch that game. And again, we still think that Tyler Huntley can get the job done. It's good that they get back a guy like J.K. Dobbins, which is why they're one of the best rushing attacks in the NFL. But I'm just not buying it. I'm not. I'm sorry, Brennan.
All right, so it's up to me for the second pick. Broncos at home look absolutely ridiculously bad. Russell Wilson, before he got his bell rung, was already dazed and confused, and he looks like he continues to be. I think one of the better backups is the situation in Arizona with the University of Texas favorite in Colt McCoy. I think that the Cardinals basically are a team that even without Kyler Murray can win this football game because the Broncos are that bad. And right now, at this point in the season, they need to make, they don't have anything to play for. I like the Cardinals from the simple standpoint. They're getting points. They're going to Denver in a team in disarray. I think that the Cardinals can cover that.
Brandon feels like a guy who would absolutely be buying into the Brett Rippon take. I think that he'd absolutely just go crazy with that. Oh, he's never seen the action before, so we got to go ahead and trust that Arizona is not going to be able to go ahead and stop him. My big thing is that it still is an offense that features guys like Marquise Brown, like Robbie Anderson, like DeAndre Hopkins. There's weaponry for a guy like Colt McCoy to basically do what you're asking.
Is Robbie Anderson a weapon?
They haven't really made him one there, but I mean, they've got enough other weapons on that squad.
My big point and my big takeaway in this is that if you can win and show at least some bit of efficiency with a guy like Colt McCoy, like you did with Kyler Murray, why am I going to bet against that right now? And I'm not saying that you have to look at this offense as a whole to say it's great, but you are efficient. And I will admit with you on this one, Blankers, I 100% agree that right now, having a guy like Colt McCoy, been in the league for 12-plus years, he's a capable backup, and he understands the offense well enough to where there was moments in that game against New England last week where it did feel like in at least the first half, they were able to drive down the field and maybe even take away a win. So I'm actually in agreement with you that I think Arizona can actually win.
Brendan, where are you at?
Off air the other day, Joel, Jeremy, and I had a conversation about best backups in the NFL in recent memory. We didn't bring up Colt McCoy, but I got to be honest. I think he belongs on that list.
Absolutely. Right,
I realized it when Kyler
Money-wise, it's
down.
Chase Daniel.
Sure. But Colt McCoy, I think, belongs in the conversation with guys I trust when my starter goes down.
Success-wise, Nick Foles. Money-wise, Chase Daniel. But there are some others that we brought up. And you're right. I think he legitimately should be on this list.
You're finding a sneaky line here. I think you found a sneaky value in the Cardinals getting points with Colt McCoy. So I'm all in on this. In fact, I think I would like to make this our biggest bet of the day.
I'm 100% on board with this one.
We haven't done this in a while, Joel.
40?
How about 50?
Ooh.
I
like it.
I'm down for that one.
I like
it.
Let's do it. Just to rattle Branham's cage regardless, let's do it. Because if we win, he'll never hear the end of it.
He's going to lose his mind if he comes back and finds you lost $50 on Cliff Kingsbury.
Brian, he would understand that. He would understand if this was Case Keenum. He wouldn't understand if this is Colt McCoy. That's why we're going to do it.
I'm 100% on board with this one. Branham, congratulations. We're going to win some money.
50 on Arizona.
My second bet of the day, I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is an offense that has been clicking on all cylinders for four straight quarters, and that's a reason why I look at Cincinnati like an actual legitimate AFC contender. What they look like in the first quarter is what they look like in the fourth quarter, but here's a stat line that most people probably don't know. Cincinnati's defense this year has allowed 3 points or fewer in the fourth quarter in eight of their games. So they're able to basically eliminate the rushing attack, make this offense one-dimensional, and you already know that there's no run game. You have fat boy Leonard Fournette trying to move the sticks on third down. He's getting pushed backwards. This is a great defense. Lou Amoro is absolutely going to be in the running. I think it's a sleeper candidate to potentially be a head coach. I really like Cincinnati. I don't understand why you see some of these people on national air going, oh, look at that. Cincinnati's not at the same level as the likes of Buffalo, at the likes of Kansas City. Get bent. Come on. Cincinnati's just as good. They were the AFC champions for a reason.
They didn't look like it to start the year. They've looked really good the last couple of weeks to make me a believer that they should be in that conversation along with the Chiefs and the Bills and the AFC. I really liked this game personally and then brought it to the table. And once you liked it too, I thought that there was no question that we could go with this game because of the fact that I believe in everything the Bengals have been doing lately, and Burrow has continued to show that he is an upper echelon quarterback. So, Brendan, I'll listen to you to see how far we go on this.
The NFC sucks. The Buccaneers suck. Yes, I think the Buccaneers suck. They're a bad football team. I don't have
it. Line against the spread this year for Cincinnati, 10-3, and the line set at -3.5. It's an easy win.
On the flip side, the Buccaneers against the spread, 3-9-1. This is easy. I have no problem here either.
How much? 20? 25?
I go 30. I say 30 with this one.
All right, let's do 30.
I'm confident with this one. Brendan, what you got to close us out?
All right, guys. You want to talk about more stats? I don't think I've pitched a game that we picked in a month. You guys shot down my first game, so I've decided I'm protesting. My final game, I'm giving it to BMAC.
That's right. So I'm going to take a game. It's kind of similar to what you were talking about with the Bengals, where they start a little slow. The experts were down on them. Same thing that happened with the Los Angeles Chargers. I said San Diego. I can't believe that. You had guys like Emmanuel Acho calling Justin Herbert the social media quarterback, but in the whole time looking completely past the fact that he had Mike Williams and Keenan Allen at all this year. He got Mike Williams back. He got Keenan Allen back. Keenan Allen caught 12 passes last week. Mike Williams went for, I think it was 116 yards against the Dolphins. Now this week they have the Titans come into town across the country. Titans team that's lost by 14 and 25 in their last two games seems to be falling apart while the Chargers are finally hitting their stride. I like the Chargers -3 at home against the Titans.
Tannetank, you really don't think that Tannetank's going to be able to get the job done on the road?
I don't.
Because I'm wholeheartedly agreeing with you on
that
one. I'm all in on that. By the way, fastest quarterback to 13,000 yards. Great social media guy, Acho.
Oh, boy. To me, the biggest question for me is this a do-or-die game for Tennessee? Is this the
I think it's do-or-die for both.
Yeah, I think it's do-or-die for both, too.
I think Tennessee really is in panic mode. And obviously firing your general manager in the regular season, I think that was directly correlated to A.J. Brown and him blowing their doors off. I loved what I saw at Justin Herbert a week ago. And at home, there's no reason to believe that he's going to stop doing what he's been able to do. I love the Chargers in this game. I think that it's an easy bet for me. So it's just dependent what amount.
The only one that I'm hesitant on is that late in the season, Brandon Staley makes one dumb call. Is this the dumb call that he makes it in? I'll go for it. I'm actually going to buy in. How much you want to bet?
35?
Ooh, that's high.
I'd go
20 or 25.
I go 25.
We can sell 25.
25.
25?
Right, 25 on the Chargers. There you go, Brendan.
There you go. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Call in on the HNRP guest line. It's the Killer Bees on 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you again about Pajamagram. I mean, the time is ticking, fellas. You got less than 2 weeks to Christmas. I know you haven't lifted a finger or actually thought about the fact that you should be a thoughtful person and get that significant other a good gift. Well, if you're still thinking and you're also hemming and hawing about going to the mall, especially on a weekend now, and trying to figure out what to do for a gift, then you got to wrap it, and boy, you aren't very good with tape. I would say right now what you need to do is go to Pajamagram.com, because at Pajamagram, they'll take care of all the details for you, and if you know what I mean, it's a gift that keeps on giving. You buy it for her, she wears it for you, and then the fireworks fly, and it's not even the 4th of July. Check them out right now, because they've got a great deal going on. Check out these naturally nude pajamas, exclusively only available at Pajamagram.com. They're going to feel just like a second skin. They are going to be so soft, so comfortable. She's going to love wearing them, and you're going to love how she looks in them. And then on top of that, if you go to the naturally nude pajamas, they're going to throw in a naturally nude nightie, a $75 value, free. So you get two for the price of one, more gifts that keep on giving, and you guys are happy throughout the holidays, and you don't even need mistletoe. This is why you do this deal, because they're also going to wrap it for you, then they're going to deliver it by Christmas, so you don't have to worry about all the details. Check them out right now. All you need to do is go to Pajamagram.com. That's Pajamagram.com, and basically get those naturally nude pajamas. They'll throw in the nightgown and all the other things I told you about. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by.
Live from Drift Bar for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, that's the HRMP guest line calling to the show. He's Joel Blank, I'm Cole Thompson, filling in for Jeremy Branham. And Blankers, let's talk a little about the Houston Texans real fast, and let's actually talk about a guy who has no introduction, needs no introduction, Mr. Nick Caserio.
Okay, what are we talking about?
Should he actually be on the hot seat, in your opinion?
I don't think so. I think that as we continue to have discussions about this team that's hardly worth talking about because this is what we do and they're in our city, I look at Nick Caserio, a guy on a six-year deal, and look at it and say, look, before I'm really able to make a clear evaluation, as much as we constantly, and I'm the whiteboard guy that draws the line down the middle and says pros and cons and this has worked and this didn't, I think the jury's still out. But I think that if you're asking a guy and you give him the keys to the franchise and say, I'm asking you to turn this thing around and get it going in the right direction, you got to give him more than 2 years. And yeah, he's made missteps, and we've talked about every single one of them. He's also done some things that I really, really like in terms of nailing the draft a year ago and getting guys, finding your starting running back and your best offensive player in the fourth round. You got that right. You got multiple guys that are going to be starters for the long term for this franchise. You manipulated an unmanipulatable situation in the Deshaun Watson no trade into getting a really, really good deal for this franchise. So I think it's far too soon to start putting Nick Caserio on the hot seat. Now, you go two coaches in 2 years, and you got to hire your third one, which is almost unheard of. Now that's obviously a huge negative, and you better hit this one right because you're not going to see the fourth. But I think overall, based on the things that he's done and the time it normally takes to get turn a franchise around in a rebuild, I think you got to see more from Nick Caserio.
No, I'm sorry. Here's my thing. 5-24-1 in the last 2 years. And I understand where you're coming from when you hit on the draft picks, but let's just look at the names who went literally right after. Derek Stingley, next pick. You have Sauce Gardner. What Sauce Gardner doing versus what Derek Stingley's doing? He's not even going to play this week, and he's got a hamstring issue that's been bothering him for the last several weeks, and he already came in with an injury concern. Kenyon Green, like the kid as a run blocker. Zion Johnson right now has one of the highest grades for a rookie interior offensive lineman. Tyler Linderbaum, an absolute stud up the middle, and you have a center need. You had a center need going into the draft last year, even though you re-signed Justin Britt. Look at what he's doing in Baltimore. I understand where you're coming from when you're saying, oh, Damian Pierce has the opportunity of potentially being a 1,000-yard runner, has the opportunity to potentially be a difference maker for this team. You don't know what John Metchie's going to bring to the table. Christian Harris has been a boomer bust basically every single week, and you're seeing actually more play right now from Tegan Quintoriano as a blocker than you are from most of these guys like Kenyon Green. So I'm sorry, I understand where you're coming from for the long-term process, But you also have to hope that these guys continue to develop and transition.
Of course, you didn't expect that these guys were going to all come in and right overnight be instantaneous starters and dominant players in the NFL. I disagree on Christian Harris. I think the more you see Christian Harris, the more you see that this is a guy that can play in the NFL at a very high level. I think he's going to continue to get better. I think where I would point the finger as it relates to Green, because I don't disagree with the fact that he's been a disappointment on the offensive line, is coaching. I think that if you're coaching this guy up week in, week out, and you know he was a good run blocker, a great run blocker maybe, at A&M, but he struggled in the pass game, and you realize that he is getting annihilated in the pass game, then I also put that on the coaching staff as well to realize this is where you need to work with this kid, because he's going to be a part of your future, and he's going to be a staple on your offensive line, because if for no other reason he was a first-round pick, you got to develop him. And I don't know that they're getting enough help to develop the talent. If Mechie, and it's a very unfortunate situation, but if Mechie pans out at all, and you can say Mechie and Harris, Petrie, who was for a long period of time looked at as one of the best rookies in the game on the defensive side of the football this year and looks good again as he's looked in the last couple of weeks, I think you go up and down the first couple of rounds. There are definitely question marks, and we've definitely said it's going to happen all year with Sauce. But I think overall, I think he's done a really good job. But I also want to remind people, this is more than just what you've done in the draft. This is trades. This is the Watson trade. This is constructing a roster. And to your point on the record, I don't disagree with you. That's more to who he hired as coach, and also the fact that he inherited a roster that was already a Grand Canyon-sized hole that he had to fight through salary-wise and dead player-wise in terms of their abilities to still be able to play the game with the salaries they were making. So just to get to common ground to start from zero took some time. And then on top of that, you had the worst roster in the NFL for over a year and a half. You might still have that. I can't put that completely on Caserio, because that was left for him, gifted to him when he took the job.
Look, my big thing is that I understand where you're coming from and the way that they had to get rid of all this dead salary cap. And I will admit that if you want to give him one more year, because of now he's going to have money to spend in free agency, now he's going to be able to figure out who he wants to bring in for certain formations. But at the same time, we have to admit part of the reason why the Texans were terrible last year was not just because of the roster. Also, who was the guy in David Culley's hair phone the entire time? Who was the one that was giving him plays? Who was the one running the show?
The bigger thing is that he hired David Culley. I mean, it's one thing, and you're right. He doesn't belong on the headset, and I don't care what he did when Belichick was the coach and he was able to look up the little card that gave him the cheat sheet on analytics. He doesn't belong on the headset, but David Culley never had any business being the head coach. So that's definitely where I would start with the first big negative of Nick Caserio.
But it's a swing and a miss by missing on Leslie Frazier, because then you had to go ahead and just settle for David Culley. It's a swing and a miss because if you could have had Jonathan Gannon, but you had a swing and a miss, and then you settled for Lovie Smith. There's not many GMs out there that get a third opportunity to hire a head coach. And so even though I understand, look, there's a lot of potential with Nick Caserio, and because he has the salary cap this time, and he has multiple first-round draft picks, he's going to be able to use the board to his favor. That's fine. But what has he done at this point that says, hey, guaranteed coming back next year? Absolute guarantee coming back.
So are you saying he should be on the hot seat, you want to get rid of him? Because the thing is, just like you can say most general managers don't get a chance to hire three coaches, also most general managers don't get six-year deals in their first opportunity to be a general manager. So the one thing that owners hate to do is eat free money and just basically say, here's all these millions of dollars, go away, and I'm going to pay someone else to do that job and double pay. So that's just another factor that, again, it's not the sexy way to analyze this, but it's a reality with ownership. They don't like to give money away and tell a guy, you're going to go get free money to go away from us. I think it's too early to start putting the pressure on Caserio. It's obvious that you can put it on Lovie and more so on the coaching staff, because Pep Hamilton's been a disaster as well. But I think that you have to wait until he didn't have any. His first pick was in the third round his first year.
Right.
I think he did well with the draft. We can go back and forth on some of the guys where he maybe could have gone a different direction. But overall, you still got players that are going to play for this franchise. He orchestrated the best deal you possibly could have orchestrated with Watson having a no trade. And now you have to give him at least the midway point in the contract before you start thinking about moving on, in my opinion.
My big thing is that I look at where you're coming from, but there's the same conversation that could be had in Detroit right now. Six-year deal for Brad Holmes and a six-year deal for Dan Campbell. Look at what they did. They made a big signing trade. They got rid of their franchise quarterback. They added in first-round picks. You're not seeing them do anything other than just improve every single week. They're the hottest team in the NFC right now, maybe outside of Philadelphia and San Francisco. I actually view them as a top four roster in the NFC, and this is because of coaching, and that's because of what they built internally with the franchise front office. I look at that team, and I say, that's where Houston should be trending, at least going into next year. But there's, again, how many times do you get an opportunity to swing and miss on a head coaching hire? And how many times do you get a say on who gets to be the offensive coordinator, who you get to bring on the staff? Because that was a big deal. They wanted to keep Pep, and they wanted to keep the likes of Frank.
Well, they wanted to see what they had in Pep, and they've seen all season long that they don't have a guy that they need to keep around. I think the best thing you could say, which I brought up a few weeks ago, was it would never happen and he would never agree to it, but Pep as a quarterback coach would be just great for a young quarterback,
sure,
especially a franchise quarterback. Pep's not an offensive coordinator. But when you look at it, that wasn't a selection that Nick Caserio, I think, made when he made the selection of Lovie Smith. I think it was one that he was forced to make based on the situation and the Brian Flores situation and everything that was going on with the controversy league-wide. They had to adjust on the fly, and they did. But I think that, so I'll give him 1.5. Cully, and he had to at least have some kind of a say when it all went, but we don't know to what extent. But that's why I'm just not ready to move on from Caserio yet, because I don't think we've seen enough, and I don't think with a 6-year deal he's even halfway through it, and a rebuild takes more than 1.5, 2 years.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised would you be if both Nick Caserio and Lovie were told at the end of the season, clean house?
I'd be more shocked than Caserio. I'd be shocked with Caserio. I wouldn't be very surprised at Lovie. It's just that they're worried about the backlash from the media and the public. But I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, if they got rid of both of them, I would be, being 10 being the most shocked, I would be in the 7 range because of Caserio being involved in it.
I'd be at a 5. And the main reason why is because you can't swing and miss on back-to-back head coaching hires, even though you had the opportunity.
But you don't know if he had a say-so in the second one.
But if he didn't, you'd at least had a conversation to be had about Jonathan Gannon, who seemed to be the front-runner for the job until he wasn't. And now he's thriving up in the city of brotherly love, has his opportunity to maybe hoist up a Lombardi trophy when he could have been here, maybe at least fixing that defense. 713-787...
You're right, 713-780-3776.
ESPN Hotline, HNRP Guest Line. Coming up next, let's talk about what the Texans should do with the first overall pick and if they need to draft a quarterback. It's the Killer Bees right here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from Drift Bar, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Joel Blank. I'm Cole Thompson filling in for Jeremy Branham. What should the Houston Texans do in the 2023 NFL Draft? We head out to the ESPN H&RP guest line, joined by Andy. You're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
Andy, what's
up? Andy, what's up?
Hey, man.
Andy, you there? How we doing, Andy?
Yeah. I thought y'all said Andy. This is Eddie.
Eddie,
go ahead, man.
What's going on, man?
I'm thinking we should take CJ Stroud. Maybe use the 30th pick to get a good wide receiver. But our second pick, I would go defense, edge rush or linebacker.
So you're saying take CJ Stroud at number 1 overall?
Yes. Bryce Young is too short.
Yeah, but C.J. Stroud, I mean, you talk about a guy that's benefited from having a whole lot of separation with a whole lot of first-round talent at wide receiver, and a guy that I think that as much as he has the measurables, I think the bigger thing is just ability to be accurate with the football and make the right decisions at the right time when he doesn't have a Rolls Royce to drive around with all the talent around him. I mean, you could say that to an extent with Bryce Young, too, but Bryce Young in clutch situations and big-time drives when he's got to orchestrate a drive or make the play, he's made the play. I don't like C.J. Stroud. I didn't like him before the season. I've been on record as saying he's a guy that I would stay away from. I think that if you're not going to go Bryce Young, then you need to do Jeremy's route and just not go quarterback or trade down and see who's left. But I'm not a big C.J. Stroud fan.
I hate agreeing with Branham. I absolutely hate when Branham's actually right on something.
We have something in common.
If you don't love a quarterback at number 1, you shouldn't take a quarterback. However, sorry, Branham, I'm not agreeing with you on this one. You can't just wait another year for Caleb Williams to come out. You're Nick Caserio. You've already had a losing record. You missed on Davis Mills, which is fine because he's a third-round pick. But I feel like that at one of those two picks, you have to draft a quarterback, at least for the potential. So I bring up a name for you. Say you get the number 10 pick, and say he's available. Why not Anthony Richardson? Why not the kid from Florida? Why
well,
not
it's the same thing that I just said about C.J. Stroud. When I watch Anthony Richardson, I see a freak of an athlete. I see a guy that, from the measurables, brings everything to the table where, as a general manager, you'd be salivating just on first glance. But as you dig a little deeper and you see a guy that early in the season made an elusive play to get out of the grasp of a couple defenders and had everybody with a gasping, oh, man, moment, I think overall when you look at him play, he's raw. He's going to take a couple years to develop. You got to make sure that you do everything you can to put him in the right position to win, and then he's got to develop and be a more accurate passer. And I'm not convinced that the Texans, like you said, as we get back to the Caserio part of the conversation, I don't think Nick Caserio has 2 years to wait, and I don't know that even after 2 years you're going to truly see a guy that can be a franchise quarterback and do all the things you need him to do.
Yeah, but at the same time, we had this conversation back in 2017 about a kid from Texas Tech who had never taken snaps underneath center, and he had an elusive arm. He was great behind the pocket, but he'd never been in a pro-style offense to where he needed time to work. His name was Patrick Mahomes, and look at what he's done since coming into the league. I'm not saying Anthony Richardson is him. What I'm saying is that the tools are at least there to where you have the potential of getting a difference maker who could be what is the NFL looking for in the future.
Could be, but at the same time, you can look at all the different guys in the laundry list on the other side of the equation of guys that had the measurables, that didn't have the intangibles, and didn't end up playing the position very well. And you can go up and down. I mean, Vince Young had 1 year, and then he failed, or RG3, or back in the day, the LSU,
Jamarcus Russell
was a guy that was just massive. It looked like he could do everything. Now, Cam Newton, he lived up to billing, and for a while he was great. Obviously, they were critical of the way he threw the football. You can go up and down the list, and you can say, hey, the measurables are too good for me to pass on, but not as much as it is in the NBA draft these days, but with the NFL draft as it comes to quarterbacks, potential can get you fired just as easy as it can get you an extension and get you a franchise quarterback. Because you've got to be able to – we're talking about Trey Lance at the start of the show. Here's a guy that has all the measurables. It looks like the guy that can't miss at quarterback. But until he can figure out everything that he has to do behind center and in the huddle and once the play develops, that's when you know what you have and what you're dealing with. And right now the Niners have a whole lot more questions than answers. That's why I go back to what you just said in this segment, and this is what I've been harping on all along. If you aren't absolutely focused, enamored, and dead set on a guy – then don't take him, because it rides with, as it relates to Caserio, your entire future rides on that pick more so than any other pick that you're going to make or you have previously made, and you've got to get it right. So you've got to be dead set. And so if you're not dead set on a guy and you don't believe in a guy, then you don't believe you're going to have that job for very long.
But I look at the overall draft class, and I completely understand where you're coming from. There is a significant drop-off when you hear the name Bo Nix, when you hear the name Hendon Hooker coming off a torn ACL, when you hear the name Stetson Bennett as potentially
an option. Yeah, but Hendon Hooker different than the other ones. If not for the injury, Hendon Hooker would be a guy we'd probably be talking about in the first round that's a legit talent that can pass the ball to where I think that a lot of teams would have taken him in the first round.
But I also think that you have to take him in the first round because he's going to be 25 years old next year. So you have to know what you have with him, kind of like you saw with Kenny Pickett. Like, you can go ahead and say, oh, Kenny Pickett, a first-round pick, kind of a bum. At least you know he's 25 years old. This is who he is as a quarterback. That's who Hendon Hooker is as a quarterback. I'm getting a 20-year-old that I could turn into the Statue of David if I get the right offensive pieces around him and I get a right offensive coordinator to coach him up. That's what I'm looking at with a player like Anthony Richardson. And this is not a team that is a quarterback away. It's a team that's a quarterback,
that's
an offensive lineman, a wide receiver, a defensive back, a defensive lineman.
So you're going to take a first-round pick and take it on a guy that you got to develop for 2 years that you're hoping turns into a guy when, like you said, the roster's so depleted, you need so many different guys that then you might have to look at the random mold and say, as much as I despise it and I don't like it and I don't know that there's any guarantees like there is this year that you're going to have the pick of the litter in every round of the draft, but I think that if you're not dead set on a guy at 1-1 overall, then you need to fortify the rest of the roster and you can worry about other ways to get a quarterback. I have always been a Bryce Young guy. I believe in Bryce Young being the guy for this team because of the intangibles. I get it, he's a little smaller on the measurables, but I've seen what he can do, and I've seen what he can do with his head as well as he can do with his arm and his feet. But if I'm going back to a Richardson and I'm saying, I think he's going to be the guy. I don't think in the first round you can think you can. You got to have a guy that you believe coming in is going to be the guy.
My big thing is that I look at the top two defensive players, Jalen Carter from Georgia and Will Anderson from Alabama. They are difference makers. They are plug and play regardless of the system that they play in. They're going to come out right away swinging, and they're going to be an immediate hit. Where, again, yeah, Bryce Young could be an immediate hit, and I think that the entire city of Houston is already planning opening up the welcome wagon for him to be here, but you also don't know what you have. Where if I see a 6'5", 225-pound runner that has the arm strength of a Josh Allen, that has the elusiveness of a Jalen Hurts, and can be that physical runner up the middle, why not go ahead and take the risk, especially if you're Nick Caserio and need to start swinging big?
Because of the fact that if he's known to be all those things running-wise, and not once did I hear you mention the being a passer, that the NFL defensive coordinators are going to salivate going, we are just going to make sure you don't run to beat us. We are going to make sure that you try and beat us with your passing abilities, and we are going to win more times than not. And that's where I think that there's so many intangibles, like you said. You've got to get the right coaching staff if you're going to take a quarterback. You've got to get a coach that develops what the kid doesn't already have polished in terms of his skill set while also maximizing what he does do well for the betterment of your team. If it's going to be a quote-unquote project, I'm not sure that I would recommend any team, let alone the team in the circumstances that the Texans are in, take him in the first round. Then you might as well take a flyer later in the draft on a kid that you can develop and work with and have some time to try and mold, as opposed to taking a guy that, in this situation, with the fan base, the media, and everybody else's eyes watching and scrutinizing, saying, whoever you take is going to be your starter and is going to be your guy from day one.
But if you have Davis Mills signed for another 2 years, at least you have an opportunity to wear, and I understand where you're coming from this one, but if you don't believe that there is an upgrade option at number one, take a defensive player. But again, look at what happened with Josh Allen year one. He absolutely sucked. He was the worst quarterback in the NFL. They bring in Brian Daboll. Look at him year two. He's taken him to the postseason. Look at what happened with Jalen Hurts, and it's a different situation because he was a second-round pick, but still, this was a guy that they brought in, Shane Steichen, Nick Sirianni. He takes his team to the playoffs. He's looking like the MVP of the NFL right now. If there's the intangibles there, and he does have a good arm. He has a rocket of a cannon. He can move behind the line of scrimmage. He can complete passes down the middle of the field. I liked what I've seen from Anthony Richardson. If you don't feel comfortable with Bryce Young because of the size, because of the frame, because of something else, you still think that you need to take a quarterback. I'm out on Will Levis. If you drink mayo with your coffee, you're already a monster. I don't need you on my team. And I do not believe in CJ Stroud. I wholeheartedly am with you. I do think that there's at least potential with a guy like Anthony Richardson, especially if you can get like a Shane Steichen as your next head coach, or maybe even a Ben Johnson for the Detroit Lions. That's
what I like Ben Johnson, and I think no matter what, and I've said this over and over again, if you're going to go franchise quarterback at all, or quarterback that you think is going to be your franchise quarterback, you've got to have an offensive-minded head coach.
Absolutely.
And offensive coordinator, and they have to be there for the long haul, because if they're not, that could ruin the quarterback no matter what they can or can't do. So it's something that they've got to consider, but I've just been steadfast on the fact that if you're not going to go with the guy that you fully believe in at 1-1, then you need to consider, there's a lot of guys to consider, but you need to consider the fact that this is your job on the line if you're Nick Caserio, to getting back to our point about who's on the hot seat, and realize if I'm Nick Caserio, I'm not taking a flyer that could end up flying me out of town if I swing and miss, because people's expectations, regardless of what you think in terms of a project, if he doesn't play right away and get all the reps and show the ability to be good, he's going to get killed and he's going to lose his job.
Here's a message from the text line. If they don't draft a QB in this draft, Anderson should be the top pick, and they should draft a wide receiver, then sign Baker Mayfield. Would you be okay with Baker coming to Houston?
No, I don't need Baker.
Absolutely
Mayfield.
No. No, sorry about that.
No, and I do like the second first-round pick being a wide receiver. If indeed 1-1 is a quarterback, I like getting a top front-line wide receiver with your second number one pick and then giving him some weapons to use so that you can basically give him the best chance to succeed.
Listen, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, call into the show. Let's go ahead and talk about what we saw last night with the Houston Rockets. Embrace the suck. But that sucking actually seems to be pretty much moving in the right direction. It's Killer Bees right here on ESPN 97.5 92.5.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Drift Bar. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
At Pac-Man Joel on Twitter, at Mr. Cole Thompson. He is Joel Blank. I'm Cole Thompson, filling in for Jeremy Branham right here live at Drift Bar in the Heights. If you're in the 713 area in the loop, stop on by, have a nice cold beer, watch the end of UAB versus Miami of Ohio closing out Joel.
What tells you, by the way, that you're an irrelevant bowl game than starting at 11 a.m. on Friday?
Well, it's in the Bahamas, too, so, I mean, I'll give them a little
exactly.
bit of credit.
It's not a relevant bowl game. It's
you don't
a basically,
think so?
No, this is the fanny wiper of the bowl season right here. This is the one that you look at and go, oh, boy, really? Bowl game now?
Dude,
okay.
I'm sorry. I love
I know
the
you're a college
bowl.
Football guy, but still, I look at this and I go, okay, next. I'll be fine without it, but all right. By the way, Drift Bar, this is the spot. If you're anywhere near the Heights and you're looking for a place to go anytime, I know you're LSU fans like Miss Donna, who's here to see us, and she's a massive LSU fan. This is the place to be for LSU games. But overall, when you'd want to talk about the best environment, the cleanest, nicest setting, and the best freaking people around, this is Drift Bar. You need to get here, and you need to hang here because it is a great spot.
The beer is flowing. The moves are grooving. Everything here I absolutely love. But you know what I don't love? How close the Rockets are to actually being good. I want them to just suck. I want to be as close as possible to getting one of the top two picks in next year's draft. I need to see them bring in one of these game changers. And last night is one of those situations where you say, okay, it's great that you're making moves, but thank God you lost the game at the very end.
Last night was the epitome of the Rockets' version of embrace the suck executed to perfection. I know that they had won five straight games at home. I also know that with each one of those wins, they grew further and further away from the top two picks in this draft, which one of the two they have to have because this is the last year they control their pick. They executed the plan beautifully last night. They were competitive. They were exciting. I saw two things last night that stood out to me that I haven't seen all season, and I really, really liked what I saw. One, they played defense. They rotated, they switched, they were athletic, they gave the Miami Heat fits. And two, Deshaun Nix did not see the court so that Ty Washington could. Because I said Josh Christopher as a former first-round pick needed to see the floor. Ty was the guy that I thought in the draft was the perfect fit to complement Green and KPJ. Ty Washington fit right in last night. He played a great game. You didn't have to see a monster stat line to know. You saw the monster stat line from the guys you wanted to see it from, thanks to Ty Washington and others. I loved everything they did there, and then in a competitive game, they fell just short. They had you on the edge of your seat. They had you believing in their talent level, and they lost the game so they can get closer to that number one or number two pick. That's the way they got to play the rest of the season. I know it's not what Rockets fans want to hear. That's the best way to get one extra good player, great player possibly, to help this roster.
I mean, you and I and BMAC were talking about this on the break. A guy like Ty Washington is supposed to be your number one, but in today's NBA, it doesn't really matter where you play. If you're a baller, you need to be out on the court, and he absolutely is a baller. So let me ask you, do you think at this point he's passed Deshaun Nix on the rotation?
I think he should, and I think that both guys should. I think that Josh Christopher, especially since you already picked up his option on his rookie contract, you want to make sure you see everything you've seen in Josh Christopher. And the kid works. When you said he couldn't shoot when he came into the league, he went to the G League and shot 300 shots after every game until he got to be a better shooter. Now, we know that he's a gunner and he loves to try and score. That's something he's got to work on. But he was willing to go to the G League and work on that too. He's a first-round pick. You need to make sure you show people he's got talent. He belongs out there. Nix cost you nothing to get and will cost you no hard feelings if you send him on his way. I heard the other day he scrubbed his social media, the Rockets, because he was upset because he got a little butt hurt that he might not play as much. Bro, you should be happy you're in the league, collecting an NBA check, riding on charters, and doing the things that NBA players do. You don't come in with the draft capital that was used like the guys we're talking about. And also, by the way, both guys are better players. I believe in both guys more than I believe in a guy like Nix. And I think for that reason and more, I don't mind seeing Christopher at some point, but I need to see more of Ty Washington because being put on the spot last night, he played pretty damn good.
I think that the main thing that I'm looking at is if you're not a part of this team in 2 or 3 years future, what are you doing? At this point, when you have the opportunity to now trade pieces, I want to see more of Tari Eason. I want to see more of Ty Washington. They deserve to have those minutes because if you look at what Raphael Stone did, he drafted them in the first round because he believes that there's potential for them to be at least a part of the lineup in some capacity. So if they can get more minutes by you having to take out guys like Deshaun Nix, if they can take, you know, if they can get more minutes added in by you replacing some other players, you know, such as Bruno Fernando, I think that you have to play them because if they are the younger talent, they are the names that are going to be here, whether they come as the sixth man, the seventh man, or off the bench, or they can even work their way in the starting rotation. I need to see more minutes from them because they're going to be a part of my long-term process.
Here's the thing. As much as we say potential can get a general manager fired, there's also, as we know, and there's tons of examples, general managers that draft guys or go out and acquire guys are going to give them more chances than anybody else to succeed because it makes them look good. You spent all this draft capital on all these first-round picks. Garuba's another guy, like you said with Fernando. I need to see more of Garuba than I do Fernando because Garuba's another first-round pick that you need to see what you have. You're building rotational players as well as franchise-type players with the roster that you have right now. You know who the best of your young core is going to be, whether it's going to be one or two or three of Şengün and Smith and Green and KPJ, guys like that. But you need the other guys to fortify the 7 to 8 guys you're going to play every single night, and those are the guys you need to see more of. Knicks is going to be like Lamb. A couple years ago, Lamb was a guy that everybody loved, the way he could shoot the ball in the G League and with the Rockets. He's with Golden State now. He might be with two other teams in the next three years. He's not a kind of franchise transitional type player or role player that's going to be, like you said, on this roster for the next 3 to 5. Why is he playing? Why is Knicks still playing? He threw a ball the other night on a cross-court pass that ended up almost decapitating a vendor in like the 10th row. That's all I need to see is the final straw to where he should be playing somewhere else or anywhere else other than the Rockets on the floor for the Toyota Center.
Remember when Oklahoma City thought Jeremy Lamb was going to be the future when they made him in the deal for James Harden? They were not regretting that one, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, that's another Lamb. I'm talking about the kid that they had in the G League just a year or so ago. He's playing for Golden State now. But I think it's Anthony Lamb.
Probably Anthony Lamb.
But this dude, I mean, they're a dime a dozen. To your point, there's plenty of guys sitting in the G League that can fill minutes for you if you need minutes fillers. You need to make true, solid, honest evaluations on a bunch of young players on your roster, and that's who should be getting the minutes on this team.
Last night, Kenyon Martin Jr. played 21 minutes, scored 10 points. There is now the potential of him going out and being traded. He wants to probably go to a contender. He's not fully happy in Houston. What's the market that you think that you can get for a guy like him?
I mean, based on what he's making, you're not going to get too much. I think his dad was the one that really started the wheels in motion, and Kenyon Martin Sr., a former NBA player, said, "My kid needs to play elsewhere. Well, I appreciate the Rockets drafting him, but he needs more time." Well, the time that he's gotten, I thought, was over with at the start of this year with the addition of Atari East and guys like that.
Yeah.
He's done the best and the most with what he's gotten in time. Is he a stud NBA player? No. Is he a really good, active, athletic role player in this league? Yes, he can be. But he's still not polished enough. And if he wants to play elsewhere, then that's fine. Not everybody is in their ideal situation. But then tell me and have your agent go out and find me a deal that makes sense for me. Otherwise, I'm not in any hurry to move you. But I don't care what your dad thinks or you think. I care about what's in the best interest of this team the way I think. And I think he's just fine getting 20 minutes a game in the league with a team like this.
The only thing I will say is that if you do not view him for the long term, and say he starts going off, and he's
but why wouldn't you? You still can consider him. It's what he considers of you.
But if he doesn't want to be here and he wants to be gone and he gets his value up, say he starts scoring 17 points, 18 points, 21 points a game, and then the value right before the deadline is moving closer and closer towards a first-round pick, and say a team like Sacramento, which for the first time ever has been actually relevant, they want to add a good bench player, and they're willing to give up a first-round pick. You are still trying to embrace the suck. You're still trying to be bad.
But that's what I'm saying. That's also ifs, buts, candies, nuts, because right now there's a bunch of ifs going on right there that have to come to fruition. You've got to see him do more offensively. I don't know that he's capable of doing that because I don't think he's a good enough shooter, spot up, three-point, or otherwise to get those kind of points you're talking about. If he ends up somehow warranting a first-round pick, trade him as soon as he gets to that level and some team is willing to give it up. Same thing with Eric Gordon. They didn't get enough for him. They thought they were going to get more for him last year. They passed on all the deals. They should have taken the first from Phoenix.
Yeah.
They might not be able to get a first this year. But sometimes it's also addition by subtraction. If he gets to be a distraction, you move on from him regardless, and you cut your losses. But Eric Gordon is a guy that you're going to be able to move. If Martin wants to be moved, there are teams that would love to have him. It's just what are you going to get in return for him? But the more important thing is to develop and play the guys that you know are going to be in the 3 to 5 year plan. And you got plenty of those guys that Tari Eason would love to have Martin's minutes.
I think he would. I mean, last night he only got to play 16 minutes. Wouldn't you want to see him on the court for another 5 or 6 more minutes the way he plays
defensively? He doesn't jump as well as Martin, but he does so many things better in terms of offensively and defensively in the system that he's playing.
I also think that he gives a little bit more of a care when you watch him play, in my opinion. He's more physical. He actually, I think, goes for the ball and he tries to make enough plays. That's the same thing with Ty Washington. I want playmakers out on the court. Whether or not they're going to get us a win, I care about if they're going to be able to show me anything for the future, for the long haul.
See, Ty's played the one and the two. Ty's a guy that deserves every opportunity to play multiple positions, and because he was in this year's draft class, even more so. And Tari Eason as a first-round pick, same thing. I mean, if Kenyon Martin Jr. is happy with 21 minutes a game, he's a great piece on this team. If he wants more than that and thinks he can do more than that, then go find me a deal where I can find a place where you're happy and I get something for you.
Listen, I'm not going to disagree with you on that one in the slightest. I'm not even close. 713-780-3776, call into the show. Coming up next, your favorite game on Fridays. Who said it? Let's go ahead and guess our ESPN 97%. I'm going to kick Jeremy's ass.
I'm
going to absolutely be the ringer that you're looking for. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, let me tell you about my good friends at Apollo Men's Health. I was there bright and early this morning, and I will tell you guys yet again how they can make a difference in your life. Dr. Owen and his staff, they make sure that they not only listen to their patients, they care about them, so they want to get them results. It helps because of the fact that they can help you in so many ways. Go to ApolloMH.com right now. See all the services they offer and the different ways they can help you. If there's a couple on the list that look like they could help you too, sign up for your first appointment. You'll find out most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel and first responders. More so than that, you're going to find that caring staff willing to try to get to the bottom of what you're going through. From the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, if you're going through problems, they have answers. They can get you solutions. They can get you back to feeling and acting like you want to be your best self. The bottom line is it starts with things like hormone therapy and B12 shots for energy. It could be a workout program starting with a full body composition analysis or recovering quicker like HGH peptide therapy. You tell them what you're going through. They'll tell you how they can get you to where you want to go and get to be your best self. They set goals for you. They get you results, and you're going to be pleased with the people at Apollo Men's Health. Mention my name, Joel Blank, free B12 shot or body comp analysis on your first official visit. Let the process go from there. Let them get you the results that you deserve, and let them get you to feeling great on a daily basis. They're good people doing great things. They're the people at Apollo Men's Health.